Welcome, welcome, my friends, to the inaugural launch episode of what is sure to become your very favorite podcast, Live Like an Athlete. I'm your host, Erin Sciarrone. You know me from CBS Sports here, at least I hope you do. Otherwise, I don't know why you're listening to this or how you got here. But if you don't, you should go to cbssports.com and check me out, as well as my buddy here, Big Herc.
Yeah. Making the jump from fantasy podcast to health podcast.
That's right. You probably know him from his appearances on various CBS Sports fantasy podcasts. He's a bit of an expert in that space. He's got a somewhat of a following, I hear, in the fantasy football world.
Yeah, probably all the podcast listeners, if you haven't yet, listen to the Herc Love song. It was a change your life.
That's right. I heard about this Herc Love song. We're going to get that worked into this podcast,
absolutely,
too, as we go on. He is a beloved icon in the podcast sphere here, believe me. Thank you so much for being my partner in crime.
No, I'm excited. This is an interesting podcast, and I'm ready to get started and let people know what we know about the health industry.
That's right. So speaking of that, first things first, let me explain what in the world these people are actually listening to, because you're probably driving in your car having no idea, maybe, or maybe you do.
We're taking them to another dimension.
We're taking them to, that's right. Oh, you're speaking my language now. See, Herc doesn't really know me that well yet, but he's going to find out that I'm like a weird science geek. And
actually, I just met you like 2 minutes before we went on this podcast. So.
That's true. No, that's a lie. That is a lie, people. We knew each other since, what, November I started here?
Yeah.
So they don't all know that I'm a Trekkie and I believe in all sorts of weird quantum events, but we'll talk about that in the future and Herc can make fun of me.
Uh-oh. What did I get into here?
Yeah, I don't know. Be careful. We're going to be transported to the sixth dimension soon. Anyway, sorry guys, getting back to exactly what you're listening to and what the podcast series is all about, something I've been wanting to get off the ground for a really long time, so thank you to CBS Sports and my bosses for letting me have my way and do this. My passion is health and fitness and wellness. Obviously, that dovetails with sports, because if you're not healthy and fit and well, you probably are not playing in one of the professional leagues or you're sitting on the sidelines. So, you know, it's something that I think really hasn't been put at the forefront yet in terms of shows or podcasts within the sports network industry, right?
Sure.
So we're kind of forging new ground here.
Absolutely.
Right?
Trendsetters.
We're trendsetters. That's what we like to do. So I decided to call it Live Like an Athlete, because think about it. Why are Air Jordans so popular? Because people want to be like Mike.
Of course.
So don't you think you could be more like Mike by eating like Mike, and by working out like Mike, and by sleeping like Mike, and by making money like Mike? But that's another podcast altogether. No, but kidding aside, right? These dudes train so, and girls train so hard.
Oh, absolutely.
They eat, I would say perfectly, but really they're monitored by teams of people.
Yeah.
From the highest paid athlete, down to the minor league guys, or the non-professionals. So,
I mean, you see a change in sports too, where there used to be beer in clubhouses now, and now it's not. I mean, it's all like
that's
they have
right.
nutritionists on staff. They didn't have that a decade ago, so everything's changing.
That's right. Absolutely. Just ask the guys in the clubhouse of any baseball franchise, and they may or may not bemoan that fact. The hockey players used to smoke during intermissions, so they're hockey players.
Yeah.
They also used to not wear helmets.
Tough guys.
I like that breed. Anyhow, so living like an athlete, a lot of things go into that. What do we put in our bodies? How do we move? How do we train our bodies? Rehab and injury prevention, brain health, which is obviously, CTE is right at the forefront of discussion in that sphere. Sleep, travel. These guys are, traveling all the time, changing their sleep patterns.
Absolutely.
Affects your hormone levels, affects your health.
I actually saw Jake Peavy talk today about, all the traveling. And he says, getting up at 8:30, he says, I'm not going to lie, I said, it's tough sometimes doing a quick turnaround. You're always not in the mood. And, he says, so even the baseball players, that was an honest statement. So it was nice to hear Jake Peavy say that. So.
Yeah, it's cool. And you know what? Actually, even for fantasy players, for fantasy owners, you think about that when you're thinking, especially in baseball, who to start or a sport like baseball or hockey where you're traveling a lot. Hey, is this guy on a back-to-back? Did he go from Los Angeles to Philadelphia? Because if he did, how's he going to perform?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's going to affect. Obviously, that goes into coaching decisions, management decisions. Who are you playing? Who are you sitting?
Well, especially, and just to say, for fantasy aspect, for catchers.
Right.
Most catchers don't do night. And then if they have day game, they have the backup catcher catch that game. So.
Exactly. And there's a reason for all that. So why do we care? I mean, yeah, you care if you're a fantasy owner. Yeah, you care if you're a fan of the sport. But what I thought was cool was, a lot of people will admit that the reason that they're interested in seeing a particular athlete perform is because they want to emulate that athlete.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why we buy their products. That's why endorsements work, you know?
Sports is one of the biggest things in the world now. I mean, look at all the salaries and how they're just getting higher
exactly.
and higher and higher. So.
Exactly. And that has to do with the marketplace. And all that said, why wouldn't we talk about what they're doing to make their bodies healthier and then sort of follow suit in some way that's, you know, diluted a little bit for the pedestrian as we are. So this is our inaugural episode. I figured there's like a ton of different ways we could go. By the way, I have every week planned out next like 52 weeks. So we're set.
Kick my feet up and just, you know, be here for the side voice.
Yeah, exactly. You're my straight man. By the way, getting back to that, you know, I was thinking about like, who can I drag into this podcast studio right here at CBS Sports? Because so far as I know,
literally, she did drag me. She's strong enough to do that. So
thank you. I am. I'm very strong. No, but really, I was like, who's into health and fitness that like is as weird of a nerd as I am? And I couldn't think of anyone. And then I was like, well, they don't really have to do the same things as me. They just have to be like fun to talk to and knowledgeable about sports. And then I found out that your parents own health food stores.
That is true.
And I was like, how ironic is this? Because so far as I know, Herc like eats chicken wings and drinks beer
all the time. That's my daily diet. So, and then I'm here on this podcast to switch that.
So what happened?
You know, I take supplements. I take vitamins and, you know, I work out and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm a guy being a guy. So, you know, guys drink beer and eat chicken wings.
Oh, my God. This is another thing. We're going to have a show called Mythbusters and we're going to get to that. Because I don't know. Plenty of dudes out there listening who I'm sure would agree but would not agree. Anyway, I keep getting off track. Forgive me, listeners. It's our first episode. Getting back to what we're going to talk about. This time, I decided a ton of different ways we could go, but we're going to go with the question of how fit are you? Because that's the first question you want to ask is this, you know, evaluation of yourself. And if, you know, how can you tell? You need to know your fitness level in order to begin to develop any sort of protocol to enhance your performance, whether you're on an NFL field, whether you're sitting in a cubicle, like the majority of the world. And so athletes obviously engaged with teams of trainers and nutritionists who are going to monitor that question on a day-to-day basis. How fit are you? Are you healthy today? You know, how's your cortisol level today?
And just off that, you know, speaking, did you bring your tickets to the gun show? Because, you know, I brought my guns with me.
I wish you guys could have seen this because Herc just flexed in the studio.
I did, and now I'm hurt, so I'm down for like 6 weeks.
All those chicken wings and not helping your cause, not helping your biceps. Although, no, you got some strength there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. See, I'll give you compliments if you come sit in the studio with me.
So you dragged me in, so now you have to reward me with compliments. So.
Exactly. I will. I will shower you with compliments.
Sweet. Ego boost
worry.
Time.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, getting back to that point, obviously, you need to make sure that you're at your peak performance level if you're an athlete. No reason why you shouldn't if you're a regular non-athlete human being or if you just participate recreationally. So to that end, we're going to have a guest on with us. We're going to have a guest on every week.
Right.
I have a list as long as my arm of people that I want to bring on. Nutritionists, doctors, trainers, athletes. Really, really great guests. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But before I do, I want to remind everyone listening that in no way, shape, or form should this be considered as medical advice, a substitute for professional opinion, etc. This is for your personal entertainment and edification only. Please advise a physician before beginning any exercise program or making changes to your diet. Boom.
Fantastic.
There you go. Got that out of the way. I had to say that for legal reasons. But the lawyers may have my head.
Well, the lawyers are outside the, you know, room right now making sure
we are
do that. So.
Taking copious notes. No, not really. They're cool. All right. So every week I want to also relate the topic to a current event in sports. We got baseball spring training starting, but what's been on TV, at least in this office, NFL Combine.
Yeah.
Love it or hate it. I happen to love it. Some people hate it. There's a love-hate relationship thing going on with the Combine.
I think the one thing that Combine people look forward to is the 40-yard dash. They just want to see how fast people can run.
Dude, you read my notes?
No, I did not.
You read my notes beforehand?
No, I can't read. You know that.
Great minds think alike, baby.
There we go.
We're on the same page, Big Herc. Well, I was going to get to that, right? If anyone watches anything in the Combine, it's the 40-yard dash. That's what everyone talks about. So speaking of that, some highlights. That kid Archer came within. 0.02 of a second.
Yes.
Of breaking Chris Johnson's combine speed record by running a 4.26 second 40-yard dash on Sunday. That is fast, dude. And in fact, 12 wide receivers ran their 40-yard dashes in under 4.5 seconds. I don't know what they're feeding these kids. I don't know how they're training these kids. But we are here to find out.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking forward to our guest today because I used to be a football recruiting writer. And the one thing the coaches always told me when I asked them about these athletes, they're like, you can't teach speed.
Yeah.
You know, they believe it's something you have innate. It's you're born with it kind of thing. And that's a statement I heard over and over and over again. So I want to see if that's, you know, we talk about Mythbusters, see what
right.
trainers really feel that way as too. So.
Well, I don't, yeah, I mean, you maybe can't teach speed if you don't have the fast twitch muscle fibers to be a sprinter
exactly,
on the
right.
genetic level, but you certainly can improve speed and you certainly can assess speed and assess improvement. And that's what our guest today is going to talk to us about
yeah.
and how you can apply that to your daily life out there. In,
and obviously
real
you can
land.
Teach a little bit because with people in the Olympics, they teach
that's
the
right.
technique and
that's
how,
right.
how to shave some time off your 40 and whatever. So
everyone listening who wants to run a 40,
there
oh
you
gosh,
go.
Pay attention.
I think you need a sundial when I get out there. So.
Going back to the real Olympiad,
yes.
the original Olympiad. Okay, with that, I want to introduce our special guest today. He's my good friend, Matthew Uohara. He is one of the best professional sports strength and conditioning coaches in the business. Trains everybody from Will Allen to Chris Carter, ton of MLB guys, NHL he's worked with, works with professional athletes from all of the leagues. He's helped prepare numerous athletes for the Olympics, NFL, CFL, UFL combine trials. He's also worked with athletes from the NBA, EuroLeague, NFL, PGA, MLB, ATP, and MMA for season and event preparation. He is an Oregon Duck. He's got a master's in human movement. He is the founder and president of Hale Inu Strength and Conditioning Inc. He is Hawaiian, and Hale Inu means doghouse. So just so you're aware of his approach, you can check out his website at haleinusc.com, and you can follow him on Twitter. We'll get to all that. With that, I want to bring you on and welcome you, Matt. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Hey, Herc and Aaron.
Hey, Matt,
nice
what's going
to
on,
talk
man?
To you again. Nothing much. Just got done training for the day, and now I'm coming to talk to you guys.
Well, we appreciate
it. And I think it's such an amazing opportunity that you guys are giving for the people to kind of get a little insight into what it is that we do.
Listen, man, if anyone is positioned to talk about this stuff, I know from knowing you that it is you. And I've talked to plenty of your athletes, and their testimonies speak for themselves. So, you know, Matt, we just mentioned the combine, and I know that you work really hard preparing guys for the NFL draft. So because we're going to talk about assessment and how do you know how fit you are, maybe let's just start off with that. How do you assess their conditioning leading up to such a big event?
Well, definitely. That's a great question. First of all, they come in to us, and we do go through the exact same tests that they're going to go through the combine. So we get a baseline about numbers, about where they are. From there, we go through a little biomechanical analysis, and what we do is we really look at the way that they move. Are there things that, like, such as patterns that we would like to clean up? Are they dysfunctional in a certain, like say a squat pattern or whatever? And then there we have them sent off to the PTs, the chiros, and the massage therapists, and we look at joint, we look at tissue, and then we assess them from there. We take all of this information, we plug it into one program, and then hopefully at the end of it, we've improved upon those previous numbers there. But we do test every single day. And
Matt,
I think that's one of the things that...
Go ahead. How much has technology changed this industry?
Huge. I'm a geek like Aaron.
That's why we're friends.
Exactly. And so, you know, I have my phones on me at all times. I have these guys hooked up to all these monitors all the time. And before every single workout we do, we have about 5 minutes worth of testing that takes place, all the way from heart rate variability, resting heart rate, their body weight, you know, vigilance tasks, all that kind of stuff. And we chart all this data. And we charted across the entire off season, and what it does is it really gives us insight as to the type of responses the guys are getting from the workouts that we're giving them.
Yeah, I've worked out with you actually in a non-athlete way, and talk about he's laughing because in a very non-athlete way, Matt kicked my ass literally, and I probably couldn't walk for 2 days after that. So you mentioned that before every workout, you're assessing these guys, and I wanna point out that that's really important for like anybody, even if you're just a regular recreational gym user, because that's the only way, right, Matt, that you can not only know how you're improving, but know what you need to work on. And, you know, if there's pain, you need to listen to the body. So, if something needs to be stretched or if something needs to be strengthened or which ways you need to move, right?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. And that's a fantastic point. You know, for example, if Hurt came up to me and was like, hey, Matt, how do you get bigger biceps?
All right.
And, you know, my
I'm taking notes.
Prescription to him, you know, and my prescription to this problem was like, Hurt, you need to do more bicep curls. Most everybody would think that and assume that this would be great and very kind of common sense. And then within a few weeks of doing bicep curls, Hurt's biceps would be bigger. Well, this kind of small myopic view kind of assumes that Hurt has enough in the tank to repair the tissue from it being broken down from the curls that we're doing. That's our stimuli. But this is not necessarily always the case. So what we do is we test them before every workout to make sure that they have enough in the tank to adapt, whether it be from a neurobiomechanical standpoint, meaning like they're learning new motor patterns, or from the standpoint of do they have enough in the tank to actually repair and grow.
Wow, that's a very interesting insight about, you know, again, we were talking about what kind of muscle fibers do you have? Are you born with it?
Exactly.
You know, if you can rebound quicker, so.
I told you he was a smart dude. I don't bring people on this podcast who joke around, man. I mean, he's
this
smart.
This guy right here, you brought me on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You do joke around. But you're smart, too, or I wouldn't have you here. Come on now. Matt, you know, you mentioned the sort of fuel in the tank part, which I think is something that anyone listening who works out understands on a basic level, right? I mean, you need to have some sort of fuel in the tank in order to move your muscles, move your body, fuel the car, right? It happens to be glycogen or fat, depending on what you're burning. But you also said something really interesting that I think maybe people are a little bit less focused on that's really important for athletes, which is these neurological patterns. You talked about movement and patterns of movement. And as a fellow geek, I find patterns very interesting. But I also think that people can look at patterns in a very basic way in their daily lives and apply that to improving their function, whether it's mental function or physical function. So talk to that point a little bit.
Yeah, obviously, as you know, it can get really, really technical and really complicated if you're looking at it kind of the way that we're looking at it. But in a very kind of layman's terms, like we're looking at simple patterns like squatting and hinging and let's say crawling as being one of the patterns as well. Can they do these things or can't they? And, you know, they don't have to know why they can or can't do it, but it allows them to maybe train that pattern a little bit better. Let's say, like, I have trouble crawling. Well, okay, let's just practice crawling, and let's see if we get it better. If I have trouble squatting, let's try and figure out ways that I can squat a little bit easier. The way that we do it is we start them from the least neurologically engaging pattern possible, and then we build upon that. So there's very little variability in the movement, and they can control their environment really well. And then we slowly add some variability within that pattern. So let's say this. If you look at a baby laying on its back, he's really squatting. If you look at it, the knees are up by his chest. He's in a deep squat, right? If you look at the baby in a fetal position, he's squatting. If you look at the baby crawling, he's squatting. If you look at the way the baby stands up for the first time, he's squatting. So these are all squatting patterns, but the baby does not make that next step until he's ready, right? So he has the fuel in the tank to adapt to that pattern and to be able to control it. And if you look at what actually really happens, no babies with back pain, no babies with shoulder or neck pain, they move perfectly, right? And so kind of the way that we train these patterns that you were talking about is we take them back into these very, very developmental patterns, and we break them down, and then we train them from there. And once they can own those patterns, then we start to make them a little bit more complicated for them. And then the most complicated, obviously, is being on the field and playing.
That's amazing, breaking it down to all the way. I mean,
because, man, that's like a whole evolutionary process you're doing right there, from baby crawling to you know, lateral movement on a football field. That's a big jump.
Matt, let me ask you this. Say, like, you these guys, they go through intense workouts, and just from a regular standpoint, you're going through a workout, and afterwards, what do you recommend doing so we could rebound faster and maybe go back to maybe doing a light workout the next day or another kind of workout?
Exactly. Yeah. So we do test them after their workouts, but we also test them before the next workout as well. And you know, sometimes even after the really tough workouts, they're still able to go again. But let's say they're not. So we would want to use some sort of intervention that would maybe speed up that recovery process, right?
Okay.
That could be from nutrition. We use these tanks out here, they're cryotherapy tanks. Basically, they get in there, and it's negative 250 degrees Fahrenheit, jeez, and they stay in there for 3 minutes.
It's Austin
negative
Powers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. We will look at their sleep patterns. I know you guys talked a little bit earlier about Jake Peavy. We actually give our guys special glasses to wear that block out certain colors of light at nighttime so that it doesn't affect the melatonin production, which affects the circadian rhythms.
And Matt, that's blue light, right? That's specifically blue light, which is why you shouldn't have your computer screen on or your iPhone screen on.
Exactly. It's about like 480 nanometers on that blue light spectrum. You're right. So yeah, we will give them their orange tint glasses, and if they don't want to wear the glasses, there's screens that they can put over their TVs or light bulbs and iPhones, whatever that may be. We give them breathing techniques. We teach them how to meditate. Some guys, we give them balloons to blow up. We take a lot of approaches to speeding up recovery, and a lot of them are really simple. Let's say, like, you want to take that meditation approach, right?
Sure.
Well, before bed, 10 minutes, you know, just shut up all the lights off and literally go through some easy breathing, and you can work out your problems there, or you can think about your happy places, like Happy Gilmore would say. So you can go through things like that, and it honestly really, really does help sleep patterns. It helps with vigilance tasks immediately after it. So we give guys these interventions between their workouts, and it's up to them. I can't baby them the whole time. I can't be with them the whole time, but it's up to them to do them or not. But we do give them the resources to be able to accomplish these tasks.
It's almost like a workout after the workout, but
right,
not as strenuous.
It is. So.
It's like,
you know, and Aaron, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's the recovery is just as important as the workout, right, Matt?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Aaron and I talk about this all the time. Every single thing we do in our life, all the way from up to the air that we breathe, it all affects performance. You know, if we're getting all this toxic environment that we're breathing in, it will definitely slow down your recovery. So we use saunas. We use all these kind of things that are great interventions to help speed up recovery, and that way we get these great performance gains because we're able to hit it so hard so often, and the majority of the population can't do that because they don't take these steps in between the workouts that facilitate recovery.
Right, and again, you know, just to remind everybody, obviously we don't all have access to cryogenic freezing tanks, which is something Matt told me about 2 years ago, and I was like, what? I'm not doing that. I hate the cold air. Come on, man. Move to Miami for a reason. I could just go to New York if I wanted to be cryogenically frozen. But, you know, we don't have access to necessarily all these high-tech things, but there are smaller things that we can do, like the meditation, like breathing, like blowing up a balloon, like getting those tinted glasses you're talking about. People really don't realize how important melatonin production is. It's a crucial, crucial hormone for so many things, not just how do your muscles work, but like, how do you perform at work? How do you drive? How do you stay awake? How do you, your sex drive, you know, which is important too. So there's so many things that tie in, which is why I think talking to you and doing these podcasts is going to be so cool, because everything really comes together in one way, shape, or form. So Matt, you know, before we move on to the next segment, in which I'm going to ask you to improve an athlete, let's leave our listeners with some suggestions, your toolkit, right? Every guest, I want them to bring something from their toolkit to the table. So you're talking to non-athletes listening to this podcast. What is one or two top things that you think they should either go out and get that's easy to access or they can do that doesn't cost anything?
Okay, really easy. I would do three things. First of all is after workouts, there's a very, you know, up until the next workout that you go through, that time period is crucial. So you know, although we might not be able to put people in these saunas and things like that, they can go ahead and even do this stuff in the shower. So what we do with the guys that aren't able to come to the cryo sauna that day is we tell them, take a 10-minute shower. And with this 10-minute shower, you're going to break it up like this. You're going to start off with warm water, and you're going to be there for a minute. The next minute, you're going to turn the water as cold as you can get, and you're going to stay there for the next minute. And you're going to alternate that 5 times. So 1 minute on warm, 1 minute on cold, 1 minute on warm, 1 minute on cold, until that 10 minutes is up. And we want you to end on cold because we want the outside environment to be a little bit warmer than what it was in the shower. And it's a little quick, real CNS reset. So from a nervous system standpoint, it'll aid in recovery there. The second thing they can do is make sure that they're eating all their meals. And, you know, in the beginning, we can get really technical about what they can eat and what they can't eat and that kind of stuff. But honestly, most people just don't eat enough. So making sure that they eat their meals will aid in that tissue repair that we were talking about. And then the third thing that they could do, which is free, it's called the Overloader. It's an app that they can purchase on their phone. Like I said, it's free. And really what it is, it's called a psychomotor vigilance task. And on the Overloader, what it does is it will be a completely blue screen, and then every so often it'll shoot a number out on that blue screen. And as soon as you see the number, you tap the screen as fast as you can. And it records reaction time. What ends up happening is if you get enough numbers for yourself, you'll be able to look at it and say, on these days, I might have been a little bit sleep deprived, or I might have been a little bit fatigued from the workouts, because the reaction times will actually drop off. And the best part about this test right here is there is no acclimating to it. So you cannot get better at it unless you are actually in the right state to perform better at it, because the time of the test, they shoot out these numbers at random times. It's not something that you can program like every 2 seconds or shoot out a number. So you can't anticipate anything.
Matt, these are awesome recommendations. Thank you so much. Really smart.
You know what I'm getting from this?
What?
Technology is making a better human. I mean, it's amazing. Yep. Just hearing all these things that can just, in technology base, that can improve just your feeling and your workouts.
Yeah, or at least it can certainly aid you in assessing
absolutely
where you are along the spectrum, which essentially is helping improve your lifestyle and your performance for sure. Matt, you know, I'm going to blow my own horn here. I was doing it as you were talking to Herc, making a weird gesture, and he probably thinks I'm crazy. But that Overloader app you're talking about with the reaction time, I just want to point out, I'm not a professional athlete. However, I went to the clinic of a very prominent brain doctor who we're going to have on a future podcast, Dr. Daniel Amen. He gave me a SPECT scan. I did everything all the pro football players go through neurologically because my brain is – thankfully, only had 4 concussions in my life. And anyway, on that reaction time test, we did a neurological reaction. He said, I was so far off the charts, there was no chart for it. He was like, you are faster than 99.9% of humans we have ever seen. And he actually said, because I was all excited. I'm like, all right, man, I'm faster. That, you know, my reaction time is better than a wide receiver. This is fantastic. I can get a job doing so much stuff. And he said, that's actually not good. He said, your brain is so hyperreactive that it's actually, you can have too much of a good thing. So I thought that was really interesting too. I mean, it's good to have really fast reaction time.
Yeah.
Which I do.
He's 100% correct. You're absolutely right. You know, that's why we use the cryo sauna there, is to neurologically shut these guys down. So you think about it, like you're in this tank right here, or you're in this cold water, like you're in your shower, it's going to amp you up like crazy. It's going to amp that fight or flight system up like insanely, right? And what actually happens is when you leave this environment that was threatening to the body, you actually partially inhibit the sympathetic system. So it forces you to recover from a nervous system standpoint. So you're absolutely right, and he's absolutely right with, you know, being too fast, being too on edge all the time is not a great thing.
Because if you think about you know, that fight or flight space that you need to be in when you're on a football field or when you're on a hockey, a sheet of hockey ice, you need to be able to, you're in that adrenaline, that amped state. How many times do we hear guys saying, oh, it was the heat of the moment. Oh, I had that crazy post-game interview because I was still pumped up, Richard Sherman, right?
Right, right.
Or whatever the case may be, you need to react at, like, you know, the fastest possible speed to maximize your performance. But when you go off the field, it's not good to be in that that state for your nervous system.
Well, the question is, man, I want to know is, how'd you get 4 concussions?
From snowboarding.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was really sad.
You're supposed to stay on the boards, Aaron. Stay on the board, not fall off of it.
Very funny. I was attempting to do tricks. By the fourth time, I think my mom was like, all right, listen, kid, you got to put a helmet on. I didn't wear a helmet.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought that they looked stupid. This was like, I don't know, maybe
it's going to save your life.
Ago. Yeah, it was. I don't recommend anyone listen to me on that point. But now I wear a helmet.
Good.
Last time when I dislocated my knee, though. What?
You're saying all the time, yeah.
All the time. I walk around with a helmet. I actually drive with a helmet on.
They go, who's that? Oh, that's just Erin. She's just wearing a helmet. She's good.
She's special. She needs head protection at all times. Her fight or flight parasympathetic response system is on overload. Matt, thank you for those 3 suggestions. Just to recap for anyone who's listening and may have tuned out because of all of our excessive dribble. Matt said, number 1, 10-minute shower, alternate between hot and cold right after your workout. Number 2, make sure you eat all your meals. Obviously, you got to have high quality whole foods, nothing from a package, but that is another podcast altogether. And number 3, free app called Overloader will test your response system. So you can use that after your workouts as well to assess your performance, and it's free. Now, Matt, before we let you go, one other thing that I'm going to ask our guests to do each time is to rehabilitate an athlete. So fix that athlete. Or alternatively, if there's someone really great, help them be even better. We're talking about the combine, talking about 40-yard dash times. Hypothetically speaking, I'm not going to name anyone because that's not very nice. But you know that you train these dudes. You train these dudes in prep for this thing. You know that there's going to be some guy that comes off that field going, oh, man, I just screwed that up. You know, that wasn't my fastest time. What can this hypothetical person do in the 40-yard dash, training-wise, right? What can they do to improve that?
Okay, so really interesting research on visualization techniques. So these guys obviously have prepared for the past 6 to 8 weeks for this event, right? So when they get to that point, there really is nothing else they can do. You know, they've done all the work in the weight room. They've done all the work on the field. They know how they're supposed to move. Or they've been with somebody that's told them how they're supposed to move. The problem oftentimes comes in performing under pressure and putting it all together. And so there's really interesting research on, you know, people that have been paralyzed partially or that have lost some feeling in some limbs and then have been able to recover from that all the while doing visualization techniques while in the hospital or on bed rest and coming back so much stronger and actually not having as long of a rehabilitation process. Now, there's also a lot of really good research about how visualization techniques improve performance in healthy individuals.
Yep.
So what I would suggest to these kids to do is that every single day, it takes no physical effort to go ahead and do some visualization techniques. So by the time that they've gone to actually run their 40, they've done it thousands of times in their mind. And now it just comes time that where they put it all together. So there's less room for error because they've done it perfectly in their head every single time.
Absolutely. The funny thing is I took a sports psychology class in college, and that was one of the main topics was they tell these athletes visualize.
Yeah.
Sit there, visualize, you know, scoring the touchdown, do all this stuff, and when you get there, it's just going to be so much easier.
Absolutely. And I think if you ask any really good, successful professional athlete, They'll tell you that. I mean, come on. When you're at a free throw line and people are banging those sticks at the end, and they, you know, and you're sitting there going, "My God, that would really screw me up, man." But it doesn't. It like that makes absolutely no difference to these people how loud. I mean, I guess a certain decibel volume matters.
Yeah.
Seahawks Stadium, whatever.
Right, right.
But generally speaking, yeah. I mean, they've done this so many times, not just in practice, but like you said, in their head.
Yeah.
And Matt, I'm so glad you brought that up because, as you know from knowing me personally, I'm big into meditation, big into visualization, all that sort of stuff that in the past people might have called new age or soft.
Oh, sorry.
But
yeah, I visualize that at my desk all the time, but my eyes are closed and I'm usually snoring. So
do you visualize your biceps growing stronger, Herc?
I just walk around like this, arms out, and just look like a Mr. Universe.
Yeah. By the way, for people listening, just a disclaimer: I don't think you can visualize yourself into physical fitness without actually doing anything. So Matt is not suggesting that you eat chocolate on the couch, but visualize a six pack.
Maybe visualize going to the gym, and that'll get you to the gym.
Yeah. There you go. Visualize the end result, you know? Matt, thank you so, so much. You're fantastic. You are so smart, so knowledgeable. We really appreciate your time, man.
Well, thank you very much for giving me a platform to share. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Herc.
And everybody, remember, you can follow Matt on Twitter at Haleinu. That's Haleinusc. Again, Haleinu means doghouse in Hawaiian. Matt is from Hawaii, from Hilo, Hawaii. And you can check out his website, more importantly, because he doesn't tweet as much as I tell him to, even though I encourage him to tweet a lot. www.haleinusc.com. And I know that if you ask him any questions via Twitter, you email him through his website, he is such a cool dude. He will respond to you. And, you know, he's a great pro to get advice from. If you're in the LA area, you can also work out with him because he trains regular people, not just athletes. And I can attest to him making me literally crawl on the floor. He talked about the babies crawling. I mean, he will get you crawling on the floor and make you do that as a workout. It's crazy.
I don't bend that far down. I'm out.
See? He would have to start on the fetal position with you, Herc. Start like a fetus. All right. And remember, everybody, going forward, this is our first podcast, but going forward, we actually are going to have a mailbag for listener questions.
Absolutely.
So you can certainly tweet your questions at me or Herc, but you can also email likeanathlete@cbsi.com. So that's the word likeanathlete@cbsi.com with questions, ideas. We just ask that you don't say anything vulgar, please, because I have to read this stuff. So be nice. And Herc is very sensitive.
But, you know, if you don't like my fantasy advice, that's a whole other thing. So
if you don't like the fantasy advice, don't send the complaints to me. That's Herc's inbox. You can tweet at Herc for that.
That's what's your Twitter? So let the people know.
That's right. My Twitter is just my name, Aaron Sharoni.
All right.
On Twitter.
I'm at CBS Herc. So CBS and then HURC.
Herc like Hercules. Is that how that came?
My last name's Hercom, so you know, yeah. my friends started calling me Herc, so it stuck. So
I like it. And then you added the big because of the biceps.
Well, you know, people saw me and they're like a big personality, so
I like it. I like it, Herc. All right. So remember, everybody, likeanathlete@cbsi.com. Send us your questions for the next show, which is going to be fantastic. It's going to be on nutrition, everything that you should and should not eat, specifically the paleo primal lifestyle. Going to have a great doctor on as well, probably as our NDA insider, Ken Berger, talk about that.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. He did a great nutrition in the NBA piece.
Oh, I loved reading it, especially with the Ray Allen. Allen was just so open about, you know, this change. He's getting older, but he's like, I've been able to play longer because I changed my diet.
It's amazing. Dwight Howard rehabbed his blood sugar. Key is that all these guys are eating more fat. That's what I'm doing, too. I'm following her advice. So it's a really, really interesting, if slightly controversial, discussion. So we'll talk about that.
We love controversy,
too. We love controversy.
Absolutely.
You like to stir the pot, don't you?
You know, it's what I do.
I like to stir the pot. That's why we get along.
Exactly.
That's why we get along. And remember, everybody, subscribe to our podcast on the iTunes store. You're going to be able to find it there. It's going to be great. Good stuff. Thanks for listening, guys.
All right. See you next week.
All righty. Thanks, Herc.